James Wan is here. He is the director of Insidious, but he's also notorious for doing that whole thing with Lee Whannell called Saw and everything that came afterwards, although you and Leo really, really, really were just involved, you know, with the real picture, number one, but you've produced the other ones. And
yes,
all that
we're associated with all the sequels, and we're blamed for the decline of civilization with the whole torture porn thing. And yeah. I hate that term, that TP term, but I think that's a very lazy term that critics love to just throw out there. But it is what it is, and I don't care.
But come on, this must haunt you, like a lot of things haunt a lot of people. But it's good to see, as I was saying to Lee, it's good to see that you're moving in the opposite direction and going towards less gore, actually no gore for this movie, and more for feeling and emotion and atmosphere and thrills and real scares, or as close as real scares as you can get.
Yeah, I mean, like, people forget that the first Saw actually doesn't have that much blood or guts in it. It was a psychological thriller about two guys stuck in a room and they're trying to work out, how to go into this predicament, and her cool twist. Like, people forget that. And it seemed like the sequels became a movie that became really violent and bloody, and it was all about the traps and kind of like lost the point of what Lee and I kind of went out there with, which is fine. And Lee and I, we're very thankful for what the Saw franchise has done for us. But I've always said, you know, blood and guts doesn't equal scary. It's much harder to make a movie that is scary and creepy with a brooding atmosphere than it is to make a film that shocks you with blood and guts. And so with Insidious, I really, really wanted to prove to people that I'm capable of making a creepy movie like they used to do back in the old days.
And it is a creepy movie, and you've accomplished that. It's a scary movie. Not only did you directed it, but you also edited it. And that's like, you're taking complete control of not only, you know, you've got how everything is supposed to come out on screen, but then once you've got the finished shots, you're putting it together.
Yes. And I think that was a very crazy mistake of me to do. No, I mean, I love editing, but usually when a director finishes a film, you know, he has like a week for the editor to put it together so he can go take a break and get clear his head, so that when he or she comes back and watch the film that the editor has roughly put together, you know, with a fresh perspective on it, all right? I literally, the moment I finished shooting the film, I jumped straight into cutting it. Mm-hmm. And it was a very exhausting process, and I have been editing it and then doing post-production, sound, visual effects, music, all that stuff up until literally, like, I would say 5 days ago, and the film really didn't get here till about, like, yeah, three or four days ago. And so it's a very exhausting process to take on the editing, but I love editing. Yeah. And because this film was shot on such a short schedule, it was good that I was the editor, because that way I knew what I needed to shoot to cut the film. Yeah. Or rather, I knew how I was going to cut it, so therefore I knew how to shoot the film.
Bringing all of these elements together, the ghost story. And I don't want to give away too much of all of the plot details, because as we're drawn into the story, James, you know, we learn more and more about what's going on, and things get scarier and scarier once you allow yourself to go along with the story. Tell me about the shooting process itself, like setting up the scenes, or just an example of one scene, so that it gives the effect that we love to feel, which is we love to feel scared.
Right. No, I know exactly what you're asking me there. I think one of the most important thing that I wanted to do with this film is I really wanted to ground it in reality, okay? Which is why I start the film, you know, very low-key to begin with. I kind of, you know, took a bit of time to introduce the family. You know, like, most of today's movies, whether it's action or horror or whatever, and a lot of today's horror films are shot and edited like action films, where you open with an action sequence, you know? Like, this film didn't open with a slam-bang, you know, like, scary moment, you know? It took its time to kind of, like, introduce you to the family, and I think that's very important. You need to care about the characters before before he can go on this journey with them. So when the creepy thing starts to happen, you actually care for the family and you worry for the family. And that's what I love about movies that like films that they did back then, like The Exorcist or Poltergeist, you know, where they actually took time to create these families that you care about. So when all the bad things starts to happen, you really root for them and you want them to kind of get out of there. You want them to actually come out of it, you know, to survive the situation.
And we put ourselves in their situation as well, because it becomes believable. It's not something so extraordinary. Just go.
Yeah, exactly. No, not totally. Yeah, but by keeping them real, you can relate to it, and that's part of the reason why Lee and I are such big fans of haunted house movies, is because haunted house films is something that we can the setting of haunted house movies is something that we can all relate to. We all live in houses. We all live in apartments. But what if the apartment or the house we live in has an evil entity within it that wants to do us harm? And that's what Insidious is about.
Using something really scary in the movie, and this is a musical cue. Tiny Tim tiptoe through the tulips. Is that your idea?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. When I first heard that, I'm a big fan of Tiny Tim, and I love the way he sings. And I always thought, you know what? This fits perfectly in a scary, creepy movie. It belongs in a movie somehow. And so I found a way to put Tiptoe Through the Tulips into the film. And basically, Tiptoe Through the Tulips became kind of like an anthem for a particular character.
Do you see... I don't know if this is a question that you want to hear, or probably it's already been posed. Do you see Insidious becoming a series?
And my answer to that is it will become a series if the first one makes money.
And
that's the bottom line. Yeah. That's how it works. That's how Hollywood works, like it or not. You may make the greatest movie ever that has the potential to make tons of sequels, but if it makes no money, no one cares about wanting to make a sequel.
Yeah. If we can back up just... a little bit. Does a movie need to be made with a sequel in mind, though? Why can't a movie stand on its own? Because this movie can stand on its own, although, and again, we're not going to give anything away, and I might cut this part out, you know, it doesn't need to lead to something else. It just needs to be a story that's complete.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the irony. Lee and I thought we made a standalone movie with Saw. Fast forward to 7 movies later, that wasn't the case. So any movie that, even if you set out to make a standalone film, if it becomes commercial, they're going to want to sequelize it.
James Wan is the director and editor of Insidious. Very scary stuff. Thanks a lot, James.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.